Blog Talk Radio.
People Matters Radio Show, Talking Matters. I'm your host, Savita Vijayan, and thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's absolute pleasure to have so many listeners to our program this afternoon. This is our third episode of the third season that we have in place of Talking Matters, our radio show, bringing to you live HR leaders who are transforming the face of HR and with their work that they do. It's such a pleasure to bring them all live on our program to learn about their journey, their learnings, their message to the community. Before I introduce our guest for today, I'm just wanting to make sure that we all have been waiting for. Let me remind you that the show can be followed on Twitter using the hashtag #TalkingMatters3, the numeric 3, #TalkingMatters3. Please share your comments and post your questions so I can take them live on air with our guests. Today we have with us on show Piyush Mehta, Chief Human Resource Officer, Genpact. Piyush has 25 years of experience contributing to various aspects of people management in both business and corporate roles. He believes that a man's machismo lies in his mustache. His alternate profession would be to run a daycare center. He absolutely loves small kids. He's a strong advocate of gender diversity and employability, and his HR mantra is business partnership. So this is a little about our guest. It's an absolute pleasure to have you with us, Piyush. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Savita. Delighted to be on. So thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much. Before we dive into our show, we are eager to know how you're feeling right now.
So really excited. It's the first time I've done a radio show, a radio blog show. I'm also humbled that you'd like me on the show. I could think you could have done better, but I'm loving the idea. So a little nervous, but excited.
Super, super. So we'll start with our first question to you straight away into our discussion. Before that, remember to submit your questions on Twitter using the hashtag #TalkingMatters3, and we'll take the questions continuously while we are on the program. In case you're not on Twitter as yet, you can inbox me your questions at savita.vijayan@peoplematters.in. So let's dive into our first session, Pierre. So we would like to know, what have been some of your early influencers in life that have shaped you who you are today?
Okay, so, Savita, actually I've had a pretty normal childhood. There was no epiphany as such. I grew up as a middle-class boy. My father was in the government, so we traveled and grew up in different parts of the country, and some of it was abroad. So, nothing dramatic there, but I got to, like a lot of other kids of my generation, we'd go to, my nanny's place for summer vacations. We grew up spending a lot of holidays in the joint family. All of that was great fun. I think the other influences were, I came from a family of civil servants. My father was in the police. So there was reasonably heavy influence to find a way to join the government and be a part of the civil service. The second thing was I was deeply fascinated by sport. I loved sport and the outdoors. So You know, early in my life, I was quite excited about being a professional sports person. I failed in both of those goals. So I think early influences were internalizing failure and getting on with it.
Wow, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. So what has got you where you are today? Any ingredients of success as a leader that you'd like to make a mention of?
Okay, so first, I mean, you know, at the risk of trying to sound unnecessarily modest, you know, you called me a successful leader. I'm not sure I'd say I'm that, but I'm happy to be where I am. I enjoy what I do. I think that's more important. In terms of what got me here, I think a lot of this is situational for me and for a lot of people I see around me. And when I say it's situational, Savita, the point I'm trying to make is all of us bring certain strengths and certain development areas to what we do.
Mm.
I think that in combination with the ecosystem that we exist in combination with being at the right place at the right time, determines where we end up and how we end up doing. And in my case, I was fortunate that I was at the right place at the right time. I ended up being where I am. Now, you know, what were some of the things that worked for me? I'd probably start with family support. I come from my wife is an HR professional as well. And there were parts of our career where we took decisions where it would enable the other person to be more effective in his or her job. So, you know, when she was having kids, when I had a traveling job, you know, we made those adjustments, and I think that flexibility and that support made a lot of difference. The second thing was, you know, building a great team, because in an environment where, you know, especially like Genpact, in the last 15 years, we've had dramatic growth. If we hadn't built a strong team, it would have been a big challenge. The third thing I think is spending longer times in companies as opposed to having shorter stints in companies. I think going through the troughs and crests, and this is relevant especially in an environment today where people tend to change jobs every 2 to 3 years. The ability to cope with troughs and crests in the career, the learnings from building equity in the organization, from building relationships, from seeing business cycles, from building relationships and networks, understanding the business, I think all of that makes a huge difference in how an individual does in their career. And I think it's important that every professional give themselves that opportunity by having longer stints in organization than shorter stints. It will help the individual as well. I mean, you know, some time back we'd done this analysis on, and this is dated, but I'm sure the data will speak to the same outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
On an average, CEOs of companies in India, of the top 100 companies in India, had spent 15 years in the company before they became CEO. And, you know, fascinatingly, this data for the private sector is better, or the tenure is longer than the public sector. And that, first of all, was, you know, it made it seem to us like there was some issue with the data. But then when we relooked at it, we realized in the public sector, people tend to move from one company to the other because they're transferred. Anyway, so the bigger takeaway from this is, it helps the individual and it helps the company if people have longer stints in the companies, you know, where they work in. I've been in this company for the last 15 years. I've been in the same role for the last 10 years. I think it really helps in doing well.
Wow. Super. So you really owe to, you know, the ingredients of success, your family support, a great team, and of course the duration, the longer the better kind of a duration in an organization. So from this, what has been your greatest struggle as a leader, and how do you manage that?
Okay, so as you know, as I make a segue into your question, I think the other piece I would add is I think it's important for all of us to be clear about where we're headed in our careers. You know, when an individual has clarity, it helps make trade-offs. It helps, you know, it helps cope with the decisions which we have to make at work regarding our careers much easier. So let me give you an example, you know, just to bring that to life.
Sure.
Pretty early in my career, I decided that I wanted to be in HR. And, you know, I didn't want to be a general manager. Now, that helped me and my organization make a lot of decisions for me. Similarly, over the years, one of the things, you know, in between that happened with me was because of family reasons, I could not move. So I made it very clear to the organization that I was not mobile, but I was willing to be flexible on everything else. So when you provide that clarity and you know, the important thing here is to provide, to have as few non-debatables as possible. But when you provide that clarity, it becomes very easy for the organization as well to make those decisions in partnership with the individual. And obviously on all other things, the individual needs to be very flexible. So it was very clear to my company that, you know, Piyush can take any role in HR and he's completely flexible to do that. I think that helps, you know, manage you know, the career piece with clarity. Now, to your question as to, you know, struggles as a leader, you know, I have to say that I actually don't think there are struggles. And it partly comes from, you know, enjoying what you're doing. So there are a new set of challenges every day. You know, I've been in the same role, like I said, for 10 years and in the same company for 15 years. We've evolved as a company. I mean, just to give you an idea, you know, we've evolved from being a back office to GE to a, you know, to a private equity-owned company, then to being a publicly listed company. Then we went through a change in our CEO. And the change of investors and a new strategy falling into place in 2013. So the point I'm making is that the organization has evolved through all of this with some reasonably profound implications on culture, with some reasonably meaningful implications on structure and on other HR processes. So
right.
There are two ways of looking at this. One can say these are problems, these are challenges, these are, you know, struggles. I just think it's the excitement about coming to work every day, and this is what keeps us going. So no struggles really, but there are, you know, the world around us is changing dramatically, and it's a new set of challenges every day. It's fun to be part of that.
Wow, so well put, so well put. Thank you so much for that. Right now, we are in conversation with Piyush Mehta, CHRO from Genpact. Keep tweeting your questions on our Twitter handle using the hashtag #TalkingMatters3. And if you are not on Twitter yet, do email me your questions on savita.vijayan@peoplematters.in. We have been receiving questions, but I'd like to take one or two questions before going to our questions on Twitter. One, you know, what has been one of your key lessons that you have learned all through this way? Anything that stands out?
Yeah, so let me respond to that in two parts, Savita. The first is, you know, as an individual, and the second would probably be as an HR person. I think as an individual, and this is my bias, so I'm acknowledging it openly, I think I would put disproportionate weightage on positive attitude, okay? You know, during the course of our lives and at work or in our personal lives, there's going to be enough ups and downs. There are enough things that can make us feel low, that can upset us, so and so. And, you know, it is what it is. At the same time, there's so much to be happy and positive about. And I just think that if you think about the kind of people you want to associate with at work and in your private life, it will be people who have a positive attitude. I believe it makes a lot of difference to the energy one brings, to the passion one brings, to the drive one brings, and the environment one creates around oneself. So I'm a huge fan of positive attitude and disproportionate positive attitude. And the second thing is about energy and learning. You know, it's there. It has let's put it this way, you can teach and learn everything except energy and learning, the ability to learn or learning agility or, you know, whatever we want to call it. If fundamentally a person doesn't have energy, it becomes very difficult to teach them anything else. So I think, you know, it's the whole concept of having energy and learning agility is to me really, really important. Everything else can be learned. So that's, you know, as far as individuals are concerned, and from my own individual perspective, the key lessons I've had. And then as an HR person, I disproportionately weigh in on HR people who understand the business. As a part of the fraternity, one of the things I've seen is, you know, we lose credibility every time, you know, we end up working in silos of our own. So, you know, when we spend, and I'm going to be controversial here and give you specific examples. I mean, you know, when we spend 2 years research on competencies in our own, you know, in our own silos, to me, that is not okay. You know, I would rather, you know, we go for speed rather than perfection, you know, come up with a set of competencies which are important in a week rather than 2 years, and then, you know, get it 80% right and focusing on serving the business and executing really well on that stuff, as opposed to the former approach. Now, I know I'm treading dangerous grounds here, but that's a personal view which I've formed over several years of working in the function. And that's just one specific example to sort of go out there on a limb.
Wow, great, great. So definitely positive attitude is something that you say that is instilled in you, and that's what you are as a person. So that's beautiful there. So with this, since you with the positive attitude that you have at hand, do you have a stop doing list or a not to do list, and what falls in that list?
Yeah. So this is a tough one. I have to. You know, I have to firstly stop thinking that the concept of a gym is a four-letter word. You know, having been an active sportsman in my past life, you know, I really do need to start believing that the gym is not a four-letter word. You know. As someone on my team put it the other day, Piyush, you know, you're over the hill and gaining speed. So I've got to get more comfortable with the fact that I need to start going to the gym. I need to improve my listening skills. Over the years, I find that my attention span has become shorter than what it used to be. So I need to pay more focused attention and improve my listening skills. I need to definitely improve communication skills. I think all of us can do with communicating better than we do. In the new world, it's going to become even more important, both one-to-one and one-to-many communication skills across different media, across different forums, across the different ways of doing it. So I think I won't say there are stop doing things, but I think it would be what are the things I'd like to do better.
Wow, great, super. We are tuned into Talking Matters, monthly radio show, and you're listening to Piyush Mehta, CHRO, Genpact. We have a couple of more questions for Piyush. Before that, I would like to take one of the questions which has come up from our listener, which is about what is your success mantra for reaching the top? Now, that is something which we have touched upon. Now, there is a follow-up question to this. What are some of the dichotomies where you have made a tough choice in this entire journey?
Yeah, so we talked about, Savita, what got me to today.
Yes.
And, some of the question is really pertinent, because at the end of the day, it is all about trade-offs, right? It is all about making a call on two different options, which one may have at different points of time. And I think the key there is clarity. Okay, how does one get to make decisions? Is to be really clear about what you want. And many times, those are going to be tough choices. Both options A and B will end up being tempting options. But clarity on where one wants to go helps decide. So, take for example, the very real thing that happens in organizations where when you are a part of a function, you're not necessarily always part of the mainstream in the organization, right? So business roles, and operating roles and sales roles, as opposed to HR roles in some organizations, are on a faster track, get better compensated, get better promotions, et cetera, et cetera. I have been a part of different organizations in the 25 years of my career. I'm fortunate that in Genpact, this is looked at very differently because HR is considered part of the mainstream. Excuse me. But in other parts of the in other organizations where I worked, I was very clear I wanted to be in HR. There were other functions which were more important, and you have to be comfortable with that if you made that choice. So, there will be things every day that you will see which will tell you that, maybe the marketing function or maybe the sales function is more critical. Now that you've made a choice that you want to be in HR, you've got to be able to live with that and be comfortable with that. Similarly, you make certain lifestyle choices when you think about your career. So, for example, I myself and a lot of people who I deal with in the organization have working spouses and have babies. Mm-hmm. Now, at that point of time, not everyone will have the opportunity to have the best of both worlds. And I think we've got to get comfortable with that. And in an environment where a lot of us are high achievement oriented individuals, that's not easy to confront and live with and to be satisfied with. I think it's important to be able to internalize that and say, we've made a certain lifestyle choice, and for that, if it means that for a couple of years or even more than a couple of years, certain things are going to take a back seat, so be it. I think that's important. So I'm wondering whether I was able to respond to the specific question that you had put or that had been put to me through you.
So I'm sure it was a question from Gautam Srivastava. I'm sure Gautam has got his answer as well. Moving on to the next question, what would be the one advice that you'd like to give your younger self?
Interesting. So, younger self, as I look back, I'd probably say I actually have no regret. I've really enjoyed, growing up and continuing to grow up and having done what I did. And, there were lots of mistakes. There were lots of things I'd do, I'd probably do differently if I had a choice, but I actually have no regret. So I'm actually contradicting myself when I'm saying this, but I just tell my younger self to live life the way I have, enjoy what you're doing every day, change what you're not enjoying, have a positive bias to the things around you, learn and give yourself as much energy as you can. I would change only one thing. I would teach myself to dance. I unfortunately end up being treated like a social retard because I don't know how to dance. So Savita, if anyone's offering, I'm happy to take lessons. But other than that, it's all good.
Super. We are 6 minutes to go, and we have many more questions on Twitter and my inbox. This one really is interesting, so I'd like to pick one of these, which is in my inbox. So what keeps you motivated, and what keeps you going, and what's next for you?
Yeah, so you know, I'm repeating myself when I'm saying this. I've been in the same company for 15 years and in the same job for the last 10 years. I still wake up every day and I'm excited about coming to work. I think I'm fortunate in that this company culture works for me. I have a great team. I have a great set of peers who I'm really close friends with. And I think the function is hugely valued. But I think it also helps that I get paid well. I think the most important part, however, is, you know, having been a product of the middle class, I think, Savita, you know, we grew up in an environment where, you know, if you weren't an engineer or you weren't a doctor or you weren't an MBA or a chartered accountant and you didn't join the civil service, you practically had no career. I think youngsters today are a lot more fortunate in having that opportunity. And I think this organization and the industry which we are a part of has actually changed the social and the economic landscape of the markets which we work in across developing economies. We are able to provide employment to people who can speak English and are willing to work in teams, agnostic of degree, agnostic of background. And we are willing to have those individuals grow just like their qualified counterparts would grow. And I think being a part of an organization like that, where we have employed directly 70,000 people and indirectly probably hundreds of thousands of other people, I think is a very powerful reason to want to come back to work. So, you know, it's what keeps me going. Now, there is that, and then there are also, you know, very highly skilled jobs that we provide people. So, you know, the canvas sort of starts you know, at the basic level, but extends all the way to PhDs and, you know, scientists and high-end finance accounting people, so on and so forth. So here's the background. That and the fact that the whole people engine is fundamental to what the organization is what keeps us going and keeps me going every day. Now, what was the second part to your question? I'm sorry, I forgot that.
What's next for you?
What's next? I think about that often, and I haven't come up with an answer. And the reason I haven't been able to come up with an answer is part one of what I answered to you, which is I really enjoy what I do. And part two is, you know, I'm hoping no one gets me off the bus over here really fast. But if they do decide at some stage to get me off the bus, then, like I said, I'd probably want to go back and do some work with young kids, really young kids. And that's not, you know, there's obviously there's social good around that and all of that, but my reason for doing it is really simple. I just love young kids. That's it. But I'm in no hurry to go there, you know. But it's, you know, having said that, it's not always within one's control. So to the extent that it's in my control, I'd like to continue doing this for at least the near and the middle term horizon.
Wow, great, great. We have 2 minutes to go, but I really want to take this question, which looks very interesting. So this has come up from a lady who is in her managerial career. So when you took the first step in the ladder and took the managerial position, what were the key challenges that you faced, and how did you tackle them?
Yeah. So, you know, Savita, the first thing was I was, like I said, there was clarity in my mind that I wanted to be an HR person after, you know, the earlier failures which I had. And, you know, to be an HR person, I was clear that I'd live life by the day, I would live it by the month, I would live it by the year. So there was no career template which went into it. There was no planning that this is where I want to be 5 years from now and 10 years from now and all of that fancy stuff. It was actually quite simple, which is, you know, I want to be in HR. I want to get a diverse set of experiences. That set of experiences would ideally be best decided by the organization because they will put me in roles, you know, there's no point in my going and arguing with the organization saying that you've given me a role which doesn't fit my skill set. You need to do better by me. Because, you know, frankly, it's like, it's for the organization to decide. So I've always had a view on being low maintenance and taking the views, taking the roles which the organization gives you and doing them really well. And where you have an opportunity, put up your hand and say, if you're searching for someone and you're not able to find someone and this is a challenge for the organization, I'm going to find a way to be able to do this and I'm going to volunteer for this. Taking on big challenging roles and volunteering for big challenging roles which other people don't want to do is something which I have a view that organizations will always recognize and will always look up to. So, you know, that would be my advice.
Super, super. I wish we had another couple of minutes where we could take some more questions from Twitter and my inbox. But we have exhausted with our 30 minutes so quickly. This has been absolutely thrilling. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, your questions, and identifying the key takeaways that we have to the larger audience with so much generosity. To all the listeners, a big thank you. And a very, very big thank you to our fantastic guest, Piyush. Thank you so much for coming on board as our celebrity guest for Talking Matters.
Thanks so much, Savita. I hope this was useful. I loved it, and I hope the people who are listening enjoyed it as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, each one of you, for joining in today live on air. Looking forward to tuning in once again with more interesting episodes to celebrate the journey of HR professionals and celebrities. As we close with our radio show today, we wish you a very great and an inspiring day ahead and a happy weekend. Thank you, everyone.